To the greeting that you just received, I'd like to add mine. Welcome. Welcome to Calvary Chapel this morning. And what an awesome privilege to gather together like this and just worship the Lord and thank Him and look to Him and now to hear from Him through His Word. So to help us do that, let's all turn now. We're going through the Gospel of Matthew, and we've arrived at chapter 14. Let's all turn to Matthew 14. The ushers have come down the aisle to make sure that you have a Bible if you need one. Just raise your hand. They'll pass the Bible over to you. If you need that Bible, it's all yours. Keep it. Use it. Wear it out. Pass it on, whatever you might choose to do with it. For all of us, let's go now to Matthew chapter 14. The King has come. He's moving throughout His creation. He's beginning to meet opposition. But all of it, and all of it, He's headed. He's headed for the cross to pay the price. And then to rise again, that we might live. Awesome stuff. Awesome stuff. Matthew 14, though, is where we're going to pick it up this morning. We're going to jump in at verse 13. Matthew 14, verse 13. When Jesus heard it, He departed from there by boat to a deserted place by Himself. But when the multitudes heard it, they followed Him on foot from the cities. And when Jesus went out, He saw a great multitude, and He was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. When it was evening, His disciples came to Him, saying, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food." But Jesus said to them, They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." They said to Him, "We have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. He said, "Bring them here to Me." Then He commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass. And He took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, He blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples. The disciples gave to the multitudes. So they all ate and were filled. They took up 12 baskets full of the fragments that remained. Now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Once again, a familiar passage of Scripture to most of us. And yet once again, therefore, a danger. We can come to these passages that we've heard so many times, and right away, we kind of turn off. Oh, I've heard that before. What new can I learn from this? I know God has something for us in this morning. And I can't help but wonder how many this morning, when it's all said and done, won't only just have been heard this, but will be responding in a very specific way to what we're about to look at. In the text, of course, Jesus meets a need that there's no other answer for. And that's awesome for us to be reminded of this morning, that whatever our problems might be, He has answers that we might not even see right now. Awesome, awesome lesson for us. But there's also something else that I believe we're to focus in on this morning in our text. Rhetorical question, but one I want you to really consider, and that is, do you ever wonder if God could use you? We understand how God can use others. We look at that person, oh, look at their gifts, look at them, how smart they are. But what about us? Are there ever times that you would like to be used, but when you take an inventory of what you might have for God to use, when you take a look at yourself in terms of what resources, gifts, whatever that you might have, they seem so meager? These little loaves and fish lives of ours can seem so meager. We want our lives to be used by Him, but it seems like we have so little to offer sometimes. Whenever we begin to think like that, then know this, we're being just like the disciples were on this occasion in our text. You see, they learn it's not about what we bring to Jesus, it's about who we bring it to. And that's an awesome, important lesson for all of us. Look at verse 17 and 18. And they said to Him, "We have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. He said, "Bring them here to Me." And therein lies our focus and our title for this morning, "Bring them here to Me." Let's pray. Father, You love us, sent Your Son to die for us. And in You we find life, eternal life, and meaningful life, purposeful life in this life's journey here. But Lord, this whole way You've set things up, Lord, so different than we might think that it is. Lord, You see our meager resources. You know us inside out, and yet you tell us. Bring them here to me. Help us today to hear you, and I would pray, Lord, that there would be, by the time we're through, actually a response of us bringing it all to you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This miracle, and it is a miracle, is recorded in all four Gospels. Jesus didn't just trick them into sharing their meals. He didn't give a warm, fuzzy message, well, okay, and they all pulled out hidden bread or something. No, it is a flat-out miracle. In John's account of this, it tells us the people respond to this by trying to come and make Jesus king. Now, they wouldn't do that if they had been somehow tricked into just giving of their own lunches or something. No, it is a miracle. And so I want us to take a look now. Consider the steps that Jesus uses in meeting the needs of the multitudes. Go back to verse 13. When Jesus heard it, what he hears here is that John the Baptist has just been beheaded by Herod the Tetrarch. And that, of course, gets Jesus' attention. And so we read that says, when he hears this, he departs from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. Probably wanting to get alone. Pray. To kind of sort out what he just heard about John the Baptist just being beheaded. But when the multitudes heard it, they followed him on foot from the city. So he arrives on the other side, and sure enough, the people are there and more are gathering. Verse 14, and when Jesus went out, he saw the great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. As we read throughout the Gospels, you'll find that that word compassion is often associated with Jesus. Many words used to describe him, but compassion is right up there. When Jesus looks out upon them and upon us, when he looks upon this world, he looks upon the need, it doesn't provoke revulsion or something from him, but rather compassion. It's a word that means to be stirred deeply. He really feels his heart and his gut. He just really is moved towards the needs of the people. So, there's great need. He sees it. He wants to meet it. But the interesting thing is how he's going to go about meeting it and what our part is in that. Verse 15. When it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, this is a deserted place and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food. How gifted the disciples were at finding need, at finding a lack, a shortage, a problem. It's the gift that many of us have. We can spot the problem right away. We can see what's going on. Oh, how's this going to work? I don't get it. See, they're mindful of their own lack. They're in the wilderness. What do they say? They say, it's a deserted place. The hour's late. There's a lot of people, and we can't do anything about it. So they're real aware of the need here. Great need, but they forget their very great Lord. They're focused on the problem, and problems can do that. They draw our attention. Indeed, too often that is the case, that we're looking around. But the problem is the problem. You won't find the answer in the problem. I need something to bring against the problem. I need an answer for what I'm facing. But the only answer they can see is the practical one. Lord, send them away. Send them back. It's getting late. They need to eat. Send them back. Maybe they can find something in town somewhere. And really, though, we can't knock them. It's probably the answer we'd all come to if we'd been there. We'd all would naturally. Don't we do that now? Did we look at the situation, come up with what we have, don't have? Here's the answer. So it's something we probably all would come up with the same answer, all of us except Jesus. Let's hear his answer, verse 16. But Jesus said to them, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. You can just see the disciples stand there. What? I think he's talking to you. He must be talking to you because I sure don't have it. No, he's talking to you. He wants you to go get something. Think of it. See, in short here, Jesus is telling them to do something they can't do on their own. He knows that, but he wants them to see it. They've got to come to the place of seeing the meager resources they have. that it won't be about self-sufficiency and all. So he had to bring them to their place of seeing their need, to really seeing it. You give them something. And they're standing there with empty pockets going, I don't have anything to give them. I got a little fish, a little bread. What's that going to do? Now, he knows they don't have anything, of course. But again, there's an awesome lesson in their future, as there's one in ours. But he has to prepare them and us to really receive of it. See, it's not going to be about their abilities. It's not going to be about their great intellect or something. It's not about their resources. It's going to be about their availability. It's going to be about having faith. In John's account of this, it says he directs this question directly to Philip. But he says it to him, it says Jesus says it to Philip, testing Philip. It says, for he already knew, meaning the Lord, he already knew what he was going to do, it says, but he's testing him. And he's testing us. In love, he wants to see. We have faith. Will you bring that to me, or will you only look to yourself? See, that's going to be the bottom line here. Will we bring the problem? Will we bring us to him? Now again, his question is meant to cause them and us to see that we don't have what we need and we can't get it on our own. They'll have to give the problem and their meager resources to him. Verse 17. And they said to him, we have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. So they've come up with an inventory. We read in the other Gospels, it's actually a young boy that has these, but they get it from him. And here's all we have, and it is all they have. They says only, that's right, it's only. It says 5 loaves and 2 fish. Do you sit here this morning with your 5 loaves and 2 fish? Meaning your resources, as meager as they are, as little as they might be, you sit here with those things. And you got to wonder, what can God do with some little fish and bread in the face of so much need? What can God do with that? What can God do with a brash fisherman named Peter, but turn around and use him to preach on Pentecost and bring 3,000 souls into the kingdom and go on to use him in such a way that God used Peter? What can God do with a self-righteous Pharisee named Saul? Well, he can turn him into a Paul that is used in such an awesome way in our New Testament. Paul learned to give all, and he found all. What can God do with somebody like a simple shoe salesman named Dwight L. Moody? He can turn him into one of the greatest evangelists that's ever lived. And on the list could go. And on down to the centuries. Multitudes of people that brought their simple loaves and fishes and found God doing awesome work in and through their lives. See, the question now is this. What can God do with us? We want our lives to have purpose. We want them to have meaning. And he's trying to show us how it works. But in this whole thing, he's not looking for our abilities. It's availability. What can God do with you or me? Well, his call, give him all, and you just watch and see. You're going to have an invitation to do that this morning. Look at verse 18. He, that's Jesus, said, bring them here to me. So they said, all we have are only these 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he says, bring them here to me. Why did Jesus say to bring them here to me? This is all I have. Well, bring them here. I'll check them out and see if they're worth using. No. He already knows what they're bringing. He knows what they have. It's God incarnate. This isn't to inspect them to see if they pass muster. It's to use them right with what they bring. What's he say? Bring them to me. See, that's the pivot point. This verse and the next verse is where everything changes. This is the pivot point. But it starts in bringing it to him. Not arguing, not reasoning, not debating, just bring them to me. This is always the pivot point. if we're going to see answers, if we're going to see answers for our problems and needs, and if we're going to experience His work through us, it always has to begin by bringing them to Him. And then in verse 19, then He commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass, and He took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, He blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples. The disciples gave to the multitudes. Though they are meager, just a little bit of bread and fish, He does not hesitate to take them in hand, for it's in hand, His hands, that this whole thing is going to be done. He's not down on their small offering. Is this all you have? He gladly uses it. Same for us. He gladly receives what we offer Him to use. Our offering does not meet scorn. It meets blessing. And notice how He blessed what was yielded to Him. It tells us that He offers it. He looked up to heaven. Important that you see that. For He made sure that everybody saw the source of this. God was going to do this. He looked to heaven, it says. He blessed what was yielded to Him, and He gave it out. Now, did you notice that? Looked to heaven, blessed it, and gave it out. Is that what it says? Is that all it says? Did He just bless it and give it out? Is there something in between? He broke it. Don't miss that part. If there's going to be a multiplying, there's got to be a breaking first. If He's going to use these fish, if He's going to use this bread, He's going to have to break it to multiply it. Same for us. Important point. Between the offering us to Him and Him using us, there will be the breaking of us. What do you mean, Pastor? You see, that's how fish and bread become multiplied, and that's how the fish and the bread of our lives will be used. He needs to break us of us. He needs to break us of our pride. He needs to break us of our agendas, our self-will, our self-focus. Too often we would say, God, here I am, now get out of the way because I got a plan. And I do have what it takes. And on we go. And He'd say, hold on. You see too short. Your vision's too small. Your resources are very limited. I got greater mind than you can imagine. So He has to break us, meaning empty us of us, that He might use us in a more awesome way. But notice that. He looked up to heaven. He blessed and broke and gave. That's how it became usable. That's how we become usable. But do you notice this? All this took place, this whole miracle of the blessing, the breaking, and the giving, all took place while the bread and the fish were where? In His hands. You can trust His hands. You can trust to be in the Master's hands. He'll bless. He'll break, but He knows what He's doing, not to destroy, but to multiply, to use, to bring that bread and fish and us into the purpose He has for us, and He gives it out. Best place to be is give all into His hands and trust how He goes about doing it. He blessed. Now notice that. He blessed. He broke. He gave. It's all about Him, not us. Stay right there in His hands. Now look at verse 20. As a matter of fact, I want to say one thing more. I want to say one thing more before we go on to verse 20. He told them to bring the fish and bread to Him. Then He says, have everybody sit down on the grass. They did it. Then he took the loaves, the fish, blessed, broke, gave. Which came first, obeying or the multiplying? Which came first, obedience or the work? We want to see the bread and the fish first. Lord, pile it up right here. Lord, start multiplying that stuff. Pile it up here. And when it gets to a point that I think you're doing pretty good, then we'll go for it. But they didn't do it that way. Bring. And so they brought. Have them all sit down. Now think. Now remember, you know the whole story. We know the story, so it's different. But they didn't. Okay, guys, have them all sit down. Lord, if we have them sit down, they're going to think we got something for them. And we don't have anything to give them. We don't have any bread. They're going to sit down. They're going to be frustrated with us real quick, Lord. Just have them sit down. It reminds us of the wedding at Cana. They ran out of wine. They come to Jesus. We're out of wine. Jesus says, okay, well, bring me some water. Lord, we got lots of water. It's wine we need. Just bring the water. And when it was made wine, it said the people of the party, the wedding party, didn't know where it came from. It said, but the servants knew. People who bring get to see. Get to be a part of God working awesome things. Just have them sit down. Would you have him work in your life? Would you have him work through your life? Don't be the one who says, and Lord, towards that end, could you pile up the bread here? Would you meet the need? And then I'll do. No. Just do what he says to do. Bring it. And obey what he says as you do. See, that's what it means. How do I bring my resources? How do I bring me to him? I trust him. I'm to have faith in him. I'm to obey him. And so when he says, sit in the grass, sit in the grass. If he says, go, do, yield, respond, call, meet, visit, whatever, just, Lord, just do it. That he might then begin to break. And out it went. And all were hungry and all were fed. That's in verse 20. Look at it. So they all ate and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments that remained. Now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. The disciples obeyed what they were called to do. Bring it, have them sit down, and here we go. And because of that, they got to see more than got to see. They got to be part of a miracle. They had the people sit down. He begins to pass it out. Now notice that. They weren't manufacturers. They were distributors. Now that's important. We don't manufacture God's love. We're not called to manufacture the resources to meet needs. If I go to my well to try to do that, it'll go dry real quick. I need to be receiving his love to pass it on. And that is what he does. He fills us so much that we start splashing out at everybody around us. So we are distributors just like them. But they had to bring it to him. Do you need to bring you to him today? In John's gospel, it says Jesus goes on to use this feeding of the 5,000 to show how everybody has a spiritual hunger, just as they have a physical hunger. And that he's the only answer there is for that spiritual hunger. And that message is set up to the people that he's the answer for their spiritual needs. How? Through the working, through some fish and bread that were brought. Lo and behold, it's through this miracle that God works because they brought it to him, that it turned around and was pointed to him. Think what that young boy, we read in the other Gospels, it's a young lad, a young boy, that has these two fish and five loaves. Think what that meager offering resulted in. The feeding of so many, but even more, Jesus used it to point to him. And he wants to do that with you and me as we bring our meager lives to him. And that is such a place of blessing. Do you know that this isn't the last time Jesus feeds a multitude? Go over one chapter now. You're in chapter 14. Go over one more chapter, chapter 15. Go to verse 32. Now Jesus called his disciples to himself and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now continued with me 3 days. They have nothing to eat. And I do not want to send them away hungry, lest they faint on the way. Then the disciples said to him, where could we get enough bread in the wilderness to fill such a great multitude? They don't learn too quick. Careful. We don't either. He met your need just last week. Will it be fine you're worried and stressed out this week? They look at, where are we going to get it? We would probably be right there echoing with them. Lord, how's that going to work? But look what happens next. Jesus said to them, how many loaves do you have? And they said, 7 and a few little fish. So he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves and the fish and gave thanks. Notice the same pattern. Broke them and gave them to his disciples. The disciples gave to the multitude. So they all ate and were filled. And they took up 7 large baskets full of the fragments that were left. Now those who ate were 4,000 men besides women and children. There is no doubt that this is not the same event as recorded in chapter 14. The differences are notable. They have to do with, for example, if here it's 4,000 men plus women and children that are fed. In our prior event in chapter 14, it was 5,000 plus. In that first one, there was 12 baskets left over. This time, there are 7 baskets left over, etc. Now, but in saying all this, you might say, Pastor, interesting. Okay, he did that twice, but why read this? It's so close to the first feeding. It's only one chapter later. Very, very close, yes, separate event. I'll give you that, Pastor, but they're so close. Why read both? Because there is something this I want us to notice. Look at verse 33. The disciples said to him, where can we get enough bread in the wilderness to fill such a great multitude? Jesus said to them, how many loaves do you have? And they said, 7 and a few little fish. And Jesus said, oh man, I only work when there's 5 and 2. Go get rid of some of those and go find some. Obvious yet important. In the first feeding, it was 5 loaves and 2 fish. In this one, it's 7 loaves and a few little fish. What's the result? The exact same thing. All were fed. The needs were met. And the Lord was glorified. What's the point? They brought different amounts each time, but Jesus used them both. From that, I want us to see this. Don't compare what you have to offer to what other people have to offer. Don't look at what they're bringing and rule yourself out. Well, look what, man, well, she's really smart. Or she's been to school. That's not the issue. Again, it's not what you offer, it's who you're offering it to. It's who you're offering you to. That's the deciding issue. Jesus doesn't need any of the fish or bread. If he wanted to, he could just make them himself. He doesn't need any of these, does he? He can literally just speak and poof, there'd be bread and fish there. He can make bread out of nothing. But he chooses to use what is offered. He goes into partnership with the disciples in this whole process. And the same for us. See, the awesome thing is, in doing it this way, we find why he made us. We find purpose and meaning and fulfillment to our lives. That's because we were made to be used by him. We're not made to be all about us. We're here to be conduits of his love and mercy and grace and all those things he wants to work in and through our lives. Hang on to your life all day long and you'll end the day feeling like, is that all there was? But offer it to him and you'll put your head on the pillow going, that was a cool day. Lord, I ended this day, I'm able to say that, Lord, today you worked. I'm more like Jesus now than I started the day. You conform me into the image of Jesus today. You worked a Christ likeness in me today. And you know what's really cool about all this? When we're all done with our life's journey, we get to hear, well done. All because all we did was say, here I am, Lord, have your way. And then he said, oh, okay, by the way, there's a crown ahead for you, and there's a that are well done for you, all because you said, Lord, I'm going to do it your way. That's a really good deal. John's gospel tells us that it was a young boy that had these loaves and bread. And again, I mean, I want to just drive that home. Think, how many people could that really feed when he looked at his own resources? But when offering it to the Lord, it becomes something that the Lord can use and multiply. Kept to himself, yeah, he feeds himself. If the boy just keeps that and doesn't tell anybody, if he can, he'll have a stack. Kept to himself, feeds himself. Offered to Jesus, feeds himself and thousands of others. Hang on to your life, lose it. Lose it for him and find it. Have we really learned that lesson? That's the call today. That's the privilege. Bring it. Put your name in verse 18 of Matthew 14. Instead of bring them here to me, would you put your name and say, bring Bill, bring Susan, bring you to me and watch what I do. We're going somewhere with this. You getting ready? Offer God what you have. Again, don't try to reason it out. Offer what you have, what you are, who you are to him. And how do we do that? Again, we surrender. We decide, hey, it's his. I'm just a steward of it. We commit ourselves to obey what he says. And then we do it. Going to invite the worship team up, but we're not done. Because now it turns to each of us to decide what we're going to do about what we've heard. You come in here with needs. Remember, a primary part of what the Lord said in before us today is just that. To keep looking to the problem, not the answer. But rather bring that need to him. And he will meet. He has resources we can't even imagine right now. And so that's important to do. But I want to go beyond that. There's also something else I think that is directly applicable, and that is what we've focused on this morning. And so I would ask you, do you want to bring your loaves, your fish to God this morning? Has the Lord spoken to you about how this whole thing works and the meaning, the purpose he wants to give life to your life? Do you want to say this morning, here I am, Lord, whatever you find in me, use me, Lord. I choose not to look at how little bread I have. Lord, I'm going to choose not to look at how few fish I have. I'm just going to say, take me, take all I have, my time, my resources, my energy, my finances, my everything. And I want you to have it because I want to have a life like this. I want you to work through it for your glory. For someone here this morning, maybe there's something specific that you need to bring to him this morning. You've been his in 95% of your life, but there's something that said, Lord, not that one. I can't bring that one. Or I want to keep that one. There's a relationship. There's an activity. There might be something that you've been holding back. Lord, you got a lot of me. He says, bring it all. Trust him for it all. Watch what he'll do with it all. Maybe God's tugging on your heart this morning, telling you it's time to bring it to him. Time to bring all of you, all of yourself to him. Now I'm speaking to believers, of course. If you haven't received Jesus as Savior, you must start there. But he would say, bring those sins to me. Bring you to me, for at the cross you'll find the forgiveness you need and the only way you'll see heaven. As we wrap it up this morning, as we worship for a while, go to the prayer room, find a prayer partner and say, I need to receive Jesus if you haven't done that yet. But now I return to you, believer. Is it time to surrender all? Is it time to bring our these fish, loaf of bread lives to him? Is it time for you to say, take it all, Lord. Take it all. I want all that you would want to do. If you will do that, you won't regret it. You'll never regret it. God will be a debtor to no man. The little boy, he ate all he could eat, but he turned out to be a blessing to others. God's not going to rip you off if you give all, but we need to do it. So, during this time of worship now, I want to give you an opportunity. A time to come to the altar, if that'd be meaningful to you, as an outward sign of an inward work that God is saying that you want to lay it all down at the altar. That you want to say, Lord, it's all yours. I give you this meager fish loaf life of mine. But I want that work in and through my life. Now you might come up because you do have a need. You see it has resources. You want to just ask for touch, move, healing, whatever it is, awesome. But in particular, if this be a meaningful time for you to do that, then do it. That is to come up and say, God, I surrender all. I take all. Take some time and lay our fishes and loaves at His feet. And if coming up at the altar, nobody's going to bug you. Between you and Him, no one's going to ask anything of you, but if that be meaningful, then come do it. Give all to Him who gave all for you. Father, in this time, search our hearts, Lord. We owe You everything. Every breath is a gift from You. So, Lord, You designed how this whole thing works, and You see if we're holding anything back. You see if we're ripping ourselves off. Lord, could You really use us? We know You want to. So help us now to bring these loaves, these fish, our lives, our resources, our strength, our time, all of it. Help us, Lord. Just as Jesus said, bring them to Me. Help us to do that, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we have sat under this work that You've been doing this morning through this time of worship. Lord, we've heard from You through Your Word. We've seen evidence of Your Holy Spirit moving amongst us and upon us and within us. We thank You for it all. All glory goes to You, Lord. Lord, we think back and through all the giving and the breaking and the blessing and all, it all pointed to You. We prayed, we head out, Lord. May our lives do the same. We give You these loaf fish lives of ours and say, have Your way. And again, as You do, Lord, in every day, in every circumstance, we bring them to You. We bring us to You. And as You do that, may it all point to You. Truly, our prayer is, be glorified through it all. So we thank You. Thank You for all indeed we have found in You. All glory to You. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now, may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely. May your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And remember, He who calls you is faithful. He also will do it. Amen.